40 years my junior. A new star on the literary scene with a one-note oeuvre about her life on the street. Was I mad? Would the nattering nobodies of Canadian letters make mock of me? Would I become the sport of gossip columnists? I put the doubts from my mind, for in the end, this was one fabulous piece of ass.
Well, Kathleen, H.C. won't win any points that way.
Well, Brennan did eventually move in with Ms. Ma, and well, it couldn't last. This is from later in the article. Catherine has friends over. They're so young, so full of energy, so excited about literature, and alas, so very stupid. There's no limit to their tolerance for each other's work, from which they read interminably and discuss late into the evenings. I invariably beg off and go to bed, waking the next day to find they've consumed every last drop of booze in the house. By way of compensation, one of these young scribblers left me a signed volume of his self-published poetry. What cost this new spinner?
And what's the fuss anyway? I mean, embarrassing tryst, old writer gets some sprightly action, which cannot happen too often to us old writers. Mrs. gets contacts in the publishing world. Seems like a fair trade-off to me. Now, you have a real book with you.
A novel.
I love a good story.
The Blue Bone by Deborah Kearney, published by New Mow Down Press in 1895.
Yes, I've heard about this one. It's about dogs.
Oh, not any dogs, Paul. St. John's Crackies.
In many people's estimation, God's canine mistake.
You don't like dogs?
Au contraire, good Kate. Love dogs. And I have a particular fondness for this Sorryburg's mangy native.
Well, perhaps a book for you, then. The Blue Bone is told from the dog's point of view.
From the dog's point of view?
Yes.
What? Bark, bark, woof, woof.
Now, Paul, really, no.
Well, but hasn't this been done before? I mean, you know, Watership Down, Jonathan Livingston, Seagull, Old MacDonald.
Well, not quite. Kearney doesn't anthropomorphize the dogs. They speak and think like dogs, not people.
How would she know? I mean, I had a dog once, and from strictly empirical observation, his thinking would go, I'm hungry, I must scratch that, I wonder how the balls are doing.
Just let me read from the book, Paul. Paul? Now, this is from near the beginning. She-Skag picked up Woolly One's rank scent. Her nose rode the Yorick Trail, past stumps and mushroom totems, over perfumed mounds of buried flesh treasure, under Fat Master's crumbling stoop, to find the lusty shepherd rolling, luxuriating in the remains of a dead pigeon. Smelling her near, he spun up and around, strutting towards her. Then she pushed her nose between his haunches. Oh, yes, her glands rang with it. He had been to the West End.
Yeah. Deb, a city girl, Kathleen?
In fact, yes.
You never see country people getting into animals like that, do you? They've been down to the burn and into the pasture often enough to know that when you look into Lamb Chop's eyes, you realize there is nobody home.
Well, just be thankful she didn't write about seals.
Indeed. And the Blue Bone of the title, nothing filthy, is it?
Oh, no, Paul. It refers to a legendary ham bone that was buried somewhere in St. John's by Beobow, the dog's mythical ancestor. The bone is now so ripe that it's turned blue with age.
Riveting, Kathleen. But I have to ask you, has all of society gone insane?
Why, no.
I'm glad for that reassurance, because often late at night I, forget it. Kathleen Hanrahan, host of Her Nibs, thank you.
See you, Paul.
And now, here's Annie Walters from Rocky Harbor with Bar the Doro.
There was an old couple lived under an ill. Joan, John Blunt, they were called. Oh, they brewed great ale for to sell, and they brewed it wonderful well. Oh, John Blunt and his wife drank some of those ales till they could drink no more. Oh, they both went to bed with a drop in their ear and forgot to bar their door. Oh, a bargain this old couple made. A bargain firm and sure. Oh, the very first one would speak the first word would go down and bar the door. Oh, along came travelers, travelers three, traveling in the night. Oh, no house, no shelter could they find, no fire nor candle light. Oh, and straight to John Blunt's house they went. They boldly opened the door. Oh, but not one word did the old couple say, afraid he should bar the door. Oh, they ate of his victuals, they drank of his drink, till they could drink no more. Oh, but not one word did the old couple say, for afraid he should bar the door. Oh, and straight upstairs those travelers went. They pulled the old woman out of her bed, and kissed her on the floor. Oh, but not one word did the old couple say. For afraid you should bar the door. Oh, you eat of my victuals, you drank of my drink, till you could drink no more. Oh, John Blunt, she said, you spoke the first word. Go down and bar the door. Oh, if you don't like what they did unto me, they kissed me on the floor. Oh, take this to be as a warning. See every night and bar your door. Oh.
I welcome listeners and BCN's own systems manager, Blaine Hart, to my humble office. Just move that, Blaine. Oh, well, sit over here. Blaine has come to my workstation to talk cyber babble.
Somebody has abandoned their analog project.
Listen, Blaine, I loved the old manual typewriter. I really did.
Sure you did, Paul.
I still do. But getting ribbons, do you know what a taxi to the Osborne Industrial Park costs? I had to take a bus. Well, that was my Saturday.
I heard different. I heard that your hands became hideous knotted claws from all that typing.
Yeah, that. See, the applications for summer leave have to be filed in quintuplicate.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, the pressure required for that many carbons.
Right.
It was fine until I got to the essay question.
Hey, what happened to the Apple?
I traded it in.
But I ordered it especially for you.
I boycott their products.
What are you talking about? I saw your picture in one of those Think Different ads. It was a whole page in a New Yorker.
Yeah, a picture of me and a chihuahua.
That's the one, yeah.
That's a bad bit of business, Blaine. Well, I don't want to take up too much time. Some years ago, on the advice of my then-attorney, Senor Mescal, I signed away the perpetual rights to my image to one Coco Cabrera, a friend, the widow of whom sold it to Steve Jobs et al.
So you don't think Miles Davis and Picasso and those guys actually endorsed Apple's products?
Blaine, we are here to talk internet.
And Gates.
Bill Gates?
No, content gates. Screening systems for the home. Programs that lock out smut.
Why would you have the internet if you weren't interested in smut?
Well, this is mostly for people with young kids.
Right. So this will lock out stuff like the Fraser Institute homepage, Canadian Citizens Coalition.
No, like sexually explicit stuff. Pictures.
Well, now, you know my view on that, Blaine. If it's between consenting adults and it's anatomically correct, I see
There are a number of these products on the market. They perform different functions with different degrees of efficiency. There's CleanNet, Cyber Soap, the Porn Abater.
Just to stop youngsters from looking at dirty pictures? Sure, if they take a hand mirror and a funnel.
No, not just pictorial material, also vulgar or suggestive text.
Ah, you see? Now, how long have I been saying computers,
Big Brother, mind control experiments? Yes, Paul, everybody in the building has heard.
But just who decides what constitutes the pornographic?
John Crosby decides.
What?
Back in the 80s when he was Justice Minister, remember?
Oh, right. Masturbation, ejaculation. Anyway, you've loaded Pornobater onto my machine.
Yes. Now, let's try to find an unsavory site.
Just go to my bookmarks and try In the Feet of the Night. Ooh, look at that. Clogs. Wait!
See? Locked out, the gates closed.
Oh, fascinating. You can disable that now, man.
I'm not allowed, actually. I'm supposed to keep them installed on all the machines. Issues orders.
Big Brother. Now, what did I just finish telling you?
Well, it's a productivity issue.
Sure it is. This is public radio, pal. Anyway, thanks for that. Next, let's talk about some major renovations to the Great Eastern website.
For now, I've made it easier to navigate the site, and,
Hey.
What's going on?
Huh.
Pornobaters locked us out.
What? But our site isn't pornographic.
According to the software, it is. What could it possibly have found on your homepage that it didn't like?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's your bio.
Thanks for coming in. That's a Blaine Hart, systems gopher at the BCN. If you'd like to check our webpage, try it at www.greateastern.cbc.ca.
The early bird catches the worm at 6:45 Sunday mornings when BCN presents The Happy Tightwad with Bernard Ayres.
Algerian dinar.
Costa Rican colones.
Malaysian ringgit.
Sell them short.
Then buy them cheap.
Tune in this week for our primer in currency speculation.
Hello, I am Bernard Ayres, The Happy Tightwad. Let's shop for vulnerable economies in the developing world. My cronies and I will show you how to drive a currency down with
misinformation,
panic sell-off,
a new government.
of your choosing. It's a moolah swap match with our warm weather friends taking all the chances.
Capital Sun, commodity braces.
Collateral damage.
Ever hear of the Fredonian Kopeck?
Though the International Monetary Fund does not recognize the Bernard Ayres Happy Note or the Fredonian Kopeck as legitimate currencies.
I made bazillions when we drove the Canadian dollar down. Don't be another loser. Get in with the in crowd.
The Happy Tightwad, only on BCN, Sunday mornings at 6:45.
Neither Bernard Ayres nor the Happy Tightwad are official agents for the Newfoundland Commodities Exchange.
It is not only time, but it is a wonderful pleasure to introduce once more the single most popular segment of our weekly grind here at the BCN, What's That Noise from Newfoundland? Hollis Duffett, Juge de Son. Let the wondering masses wonder no longer. Let's hear what it's all about. That is it. So, into the collected hypotheses of the many and various devils.
She's stunned down here.
And here's an electronic entry to the contest. Comes to us from Kathy Merriman in Toronto. And Kathy writes, that noise is a humpback whale surfacing to breathe, dodging whale-watching tourists off the coast at Witless Bay. Hollis? Kathy Merriman of Toronto. I guess that's Toronto, Ontario. You are the first winner of our 1988-1999 season. Congratulations. A great joy for us that a Canadian has won again. Your prize, a beautiful BCNT, is now reserved. And you can pick it up at our front desk in the lobby anytime during regular office hours. Now, if you've been playing along with us over the years, you'll know that once we have a correct guess, we pose another sonic conundrum for you to identify.
Shh, get ready now, be quiet. To get the full effect, turn your radio up. Hollis, stop it. Pose away.
There you have it. If you recognize that new sound, write us at the What's That Noise for Newfoundland contest, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or EOS, that address is Great Eastern at stjohns.cbc.ca. And what better way to follow the noise than with the music? Here is Solace from Ireland with The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
My true love, my sad heart strove the two between the old love and the new love. The old for her, the new that made me think all Lyle dearly. When soft the wind blew down the glen and it shook the golden barley. I've made my true love's clay cold corpse where I full soon.
afternoon. I'm Rita Malloy with some BCN programming highlights. Coming up after the Great Eastern, it's Look It's. Today, Look It's, dioxin in the breast milk. Host Ricky Parabrame follows the migration of toxic waste from the industrial heartland into the produce, meat, and drinking water of unsuspecting Easterners. Chain, 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 chain of foods. Today on Look It's. Tomorrow afternoon, it's zany antics galore when the three wise guys take to the airwaves. Goldie, Frank, and Murray head to London and try to place an order of the British Empire. Three David Lee and roast beef deli specials on a Khyber with extra mayonnaise and a side of gurkhas. The madcap fun goes into overdrive at the Tower when Murray catches a beef eater with his hands on the royal family jewels. Don't miss the Three Wise Guys tomorrow at 3. And this week on Symposium, Porn Glyphs of the Ancient World. Professor Helen Maunder puts the ram back in Ramses with a look at the bedtime reading of the Egyptian nobility. After the tedious scholarly debate, Dr. Maunder settles down to read from some favorites: Cleopatra's Cuneiforms, Alexander the Great in Gomorrah, and the Greek Slave Trilogy. A special Homer erotic series on Symposium, nightly this week at 7. A full schedule of entertaining and informative programming only on BCN 520.
"60 miles west of St. John's, up the Maginot Line, down Brunel's Lane, and onto Three Pond Pond. I'm at the family cottage, the cabin. Ah, smells like an old face cloth. Alas, summer has ended, and its final duties fall to me. I've got to close her up. Ah, always a melancholy enterprise, this. Autumn approaches, and we will the sooner be dead. My dipsomaniac Aunt Gert is, as I speak, driving Mom home, joining the legion of townies heading east on the TCH to suburban heaps, soul-destroying jobs, and school. The owners of the 13 cabins around this beautiful pond, they're all gone now.
Hey, Paul!
Insufferable oaf!
Hey, Paul, what are you doing?
I'm closing her up!
You closing her up, aren't
you? Yes! Stop hounding me. It was a decent summer up here in the woods. How many more does Mom have left?
Yeah, I'm closing up, too!
Last year was a bit of a bust, what with the arrival on our little pool in paradise here of jet skis and the Sea-Doos and the Yahoo skiers. But my brother Frank, uncharacteristically, showed some initiative this spring. He strung some piano wire from just about here over to Divil's Rock, nipping or clipping, I suppose, that problem in the buds. Ouch. Wow, it's just so peaceful out here. I'm glad that through the magic of recording, I can share it with you. Back in the early 70s, I tried to winter up here once, do the writing thing, and, well, how quickly this idyll became a living hell. Anyway, to the tasks at hand now. Not sure that I like the looks of this. In a land cursed with an abundance of water, getting some of the stuff up to the shack should be such a hassle. Dad and his wisdom put the main valve in the crawl space here underneath the cabin. When my adolescence was in early bloom, I used to come down here to amuse myself. Wow. Look, an old Eden's catalog for inspiration. Saddle shoes. Now, if I could just get in that little... Stuck now. If I could just back out. Oh, no.
Oh, every May 24th, it's the same. Mom insists that the boat be taken from the shed and put in the water for the summer. Well, it did come in handy when Frank strung the piano wire. It doesn't often see much use. And getting it up out of the pond is no picnic. First, I'll take off the motor. Oh, man. Look at this beauty. An old single-stroke Volvo Penta. Now, if I could just... Whoa! Oh, man, that was a close one.
Yum, yum, super, yokels. Up in the GD Woods. The stupid bloody boat!
Oh, look at that. Krupp's recording group on Aufgemeingumpf. You just can't beat Teutonic technology. Made to last 1,000 years, they say. Returning the boat to the shed and packing away all the Appalachian chairs for the winter is a ritual marked in an ancient fashion. Smoking out the resident wasps. Getting rid of the old wasps' nests is a tradition not unlike the lighting of incense before the graven pagan image of some Babylonian bull or pig. But they never had white gas. Get the... Oh, my God. Oh, this doesn't look good.
Serving the island for over 60 years, BCN, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland.
Have you ever had one of those days, I guess, although sometimes it seems like weeks or months, have you ever had one of those days where you just can't separate the truth from the fantastical? Or have you ever gotten them confused? Reality that seems too weird to be made up, for example, or nightmares that suddenly turn all too real? Have you ever experienced a brain hurricane that leaves a trail of twisted mental mobile homes and snapped coconut synapses in its wake? 2 weeks ago, I'm discussing my retirement pension fund. They say you got to have a cool million in your RRSP portfolio before even thinking about calling it quits. I'm talking investment with my financial advisor, Bernard Ayers. And Bernard's saying, buy Fredonian Kopex, buy Happy Notes. Currency is in and liquid. Whatever that means. So I took some of his advice. Now, I plowed my not-insubstantial savings and Mom's OAP into Indo-Samnesian timber futures. I own half of the once arable and now miserable land over there. And then the bomb. Some guy jumps out of a helicopter or absconds with the treasury or something. Anyway, the currency all of a sudden is no longer liquid. It certainly isn't solid. And I'm left holding the Southeast Asian gas bag, and it's empty. And Bernard is not returning my calls. It's not only me. Geez, did you see the news from the States? Get the edge, go with the hedge. And they got bazillionaires and industry leaders and geniuses, for crying out loud, geniuses investing in it. And they all got rooked. But I guess Nobel Prize winners and gazillionaires got friends in high enough places. Read bailout. Global credit crunch indeed. What, they're too rich to lose a little of their own money? And then they go on about the welfare bums after getting their own government life preserver. Whose hallucination is this anyway? Here I am, staring down the barrel of a 50-year-old shotgun holding a bunch of worthless Indo-Samnesian paper. Who's going to bail me out? I lost my shirt. What about Mom?
That
That's the Great Eastern for another week. Coming up in November, we'll broadcast our annual Listener's Letter show. So if you have a question about the Great Eastern or the BCN or anything, I mean that anything, I'll answer a question about anything, write us at 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5, or use our electronic address, greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. If we use your letter on the show, we'll send you a beautiful T-shirt. See the choices on our homepage, www.greateastern.cbc.ca. My name is Paul Moth. Join me again next week for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.